Hello, everyone. Good morning. My name is Jeff. I am in my second year at the University of British Columbia studying English literature. And just in case you guys didn't know who I was, my name is Jeff. I recently started my show, my podcast show. Just a quick introduction. I'm probably going to be talking about films that I recently watched for about half of my show. And the other half is usually going to be just random freestyling, whatever I want to talk about. All right. Before we get started, I would like to play us a song. This is a song that I recently found out. That's pretty old, but I really enjoy it. I think it's a great song, and I think in the morning it's a great way to kick off your day with a beautiful song. But yeah, it's called To Make My Dream. Oh, sorry. You Make My Dreams Come True. All right, I guess we could start off this. Yeah, that was the song that I want to kick off today. That song was basically a song I'm pretty sure I heard from a movie that I don't remember right now. But further ado, we are going to be talking about a film that I recently saw from a friend's recommendation called Love, Rosie. It's a film with Sam Claflin and Lily Collins as the main protagonists. It's a rom-com from 2014, and I personally think that the plot itself was pretty similar to When Harry Met Sally, which is an older rom-com that happens to be my favorite rom-com. But yeah, that rom-com was probably my favorite one so far. But yeah, Love, Rosie is a romantic comedy talking about how two friendships that end up into love. And I think it was a great, great film. There was some comedic aspects in the film that I love. I always love comedic scenes or lines that are put into a film just because it kind of loosens the tension between the two lovers. I think I can't really handle too much seriousness or too much tension between two characters. I just need something to break it sometimes and continue with the flow. But yeah, Lily Collins is a beautiful actress. I actually saw her in other films. I don't know if you guys have heard of the film called Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile. It's a film about Ted Bundy, and Zac Efron actually plays as Ted Bundy. But yeah, that's a great film. I think it really showed how much of an incredible actress Lily Collins is. My parents actually watched a show called Emily in Paris. I don't know if you guys have heard about it. It's on Netflix, I believe. It's still on there. I didn't watch it. I'm not really into like fashion and all. So I think whoever is or just a fan of Lily Collins, just go check it out. It's probably a great show. I mean, my parents loved it. But yeah, moving on to friendship turning into love. Okay, I think this movie is kind of telling you about like the search of the one, which is very broad. I think the search of the one is kind of weird because there's two situations where I kind of argue between, wait, is this the one? Because, well, the first scenario is, if you're kind of forced to work with someone that you really don't like and you end up falling in love, like, was she really the one for you? Or was it kind of like the right place at the right time? Right? Like, if you really think about it. Or is the one kind of determined where you kind of were meant to be? Like, you always see each other at the subway station. Or it's like you run into each other at school. Or it's kind of like those moments where you can't avoid seeing someone. And when you do see them, it kind of clicks in a way where conversation or even like looks kind of just show that, oh, maybe like this person is for me. So I think these two situations really like question my understanding of the one. Like, who is it? Like, does it not matter how you meet someone to kind of, I don't know, determine whether she's the one? And that's just a question that's always been in my mind all the time. But yeah, I think this is a movie that shows how they don't really know that like each other, they're the one. So they kind of live life just trying to like ignore the fact that they're perfect for each other. And then they end up wasting a lot of time with the different people. And I'm sure that they gained a lot of things from those people, because some of them were actually decent people. Most of them were kind of just straight up not right for them. You could kind of see it in the film. But from that time, I think, well, at first what I thought was, because they wasted so much time figuring out that they were good to like with each other, I thought it was just like, why would they drag it on so long? But I feel like through the times that they were separated, that's what really kind of had them realize or like conclude that, wow, like maybe she or he is the one for me. So I think the fact that they dragged it on for so long, just like how they did in When Harry Met Sally, except that When Harry Met Sally is a bit different because they were separated for years and they would meet up and then have a nice conversation and then separate and then meet up and just continue that. So it wasn't like a drag on because they kind of forgot about each other and they actually, one of them actually like actually fell in love. So it's kind of different, I think. But I think the plot is a bit similar. But moving on to Love, Rosie, I think the fact that they dragged it on was a good thing that they did. I don't think it was, I think it had a purpose. It was kind of showing the audience how they couldn't avoid that feeling or connection that they, those two had. And no matter how long time passed and how many lovers that they had, they were eventually going to come back to each other. But yeah, I think in my opinion, these friendships turning into love rom-coms are good. I think they're pretty realistic because I feel like I've seen a lot of people kind of turn in friendships into love. And it's turned out pretty good because you already know each other pretty well. But yeah, I think these kind of movies that show friendship turning into love is good, but also I think it could also be very heartbroken because when you are with like in a friendship and only one person feels that romantic feeling, you kind of feel like, you know, you lost something. And I don't know about you guys, but I've never really experienced something where I've liked someone in a friendship and like told them. So yeah, I can't really imagine how much that would hurt because I don't know if I could still be friends with someone that I've had feelings for, because no matter how much time passes, whenever I see them, I feel like I'd remember what I liked about them. And from that, I don't think I can ignore that aspect of themselves. But yeah, that was the film that I watched last week. I enjoyed it. It really reminds me of When Harry Met Sally, as I mentioned. But I was actually thinking while I was watching this film of how I love writing myself. And I love writing romantic comedies. I like writing fictional things. I honestly like writing anything else. But I mostly like to write and view movies or films or shows that are realistic, because one of the main reasons why I watch these things is to kind of escape the real world, you could say, and kind of enter a new one. But it's a fantasy one, so you can kind of do whatever you want or live in that life as that character. And I find it very interesting and very fun because you're kind of living in a place where you don't really have any rules and you could do anything. And like the hopes that you would usually have in the real world are actually real. So anyways, I watch films or shows just to kind of take a break from where I'm living right now. And when I write stories to kind of fulfill the same purpose, I find myself writing very similar to the things that I've either watched or experienced. And I don't know if that happens with anybody else, but when I start writing a story or a short microfiction or whatever, I would look through the story, I'd read it, I'd reread it, and I would think, wow, this story sounds very similar to this film, or this plot sounds very similar to this show's plot, or like this character's development or belief systems are very, if not the same, as this other film that I watched. And I was really thinking about this for a long time, and how can I escape this like fixed mindset that I have with writing stories. It's like, how can I break this foundation and enter a new one and write something more original than what I've already written? And I have come to the conclusion with, I can't. I don't think I can make my stories more original than how I do it right now, as long as I'm writing whatever I want to write and not physically copying every single detail of a film. I think if you look into a lot of rom-coms, the inciting incident, the rising action and the climax, those main things of what make up a movie are pretty similar. But what I found different is what the characters do and how they react, and maybe the setting of the movie, the cultural differences of that time of era, or these different aspects are just a bit tweaked. But the rest are pretty similar. And I came up with another question of, how can I be more creative with what I can put into these characters that can kind of stand out from other characters? And I was really thinking, how can I make myself more creative? How can I have these thoughts in my head that can just pop up and I can just write? And I would sit in my house and just think and just have my laptop in front of me and just really try to write what pops in my head. And I've realized that the things that you start writing, or just freestyle writing, that the content that's going to come out of what I've experienced is the things that you've experienced as an individual. Either it's related to your life, like what's happening right now, or what's happening in the past, or what you're looking forward to that you wish that it happened, or maybe the things that are in the future that might not happen. It's almost like you kind of have to be an overthinker of your own life or what's going to happen to kind of create these new situations and new circumstances to write. And yeah, I think I would probably have a question answer when someone asked me, how can I be more creative? How can I make my stories more original? I would probably have to say, just go out there and meet a lot of people, do a lot of things, be involved, try to find things that interest you. Maybe just go out of your way and try things that you never thought you were gonna try, and just do a lot of things. Because at the end of the day, those are all stories that are going to be embedded into your life and into your own book, your life book, that can never be duplicated by anyone else. And your stories are probably going to be coming out of that, or the things you see. But I think if you want to feel like more original of what you're writing or how you're creating your own art, I think it might, not should, but if it does come out of your own mind, I guess, it'd probably more, it'd feel more like that. But yeah, we went into a very, very long conversation about Love, Rosie, and love, friendship, creativity, originality, and all those important things that I think are very important to discuss as a student. I would probably consider myself a writer because I love to write. I don't know if that's the right term, but yeah, I love to write. And yeah, I think those are things that are necessary to kind of discuss and kind of really think about, because I'm pretty sure there's other people out there kind of wondering the same thing, where you're kind of writing something and three of the stories you wrote are very similar to each other. And in order to kind of differentiate it, you kind of have to rewrite the entire story, which is annoying sometimes because you don't know what else to write. Personally, I love writing because you could kind of create your own rules and your own thoughts into something that no one will kind of judge, I guess. So you just need to, I mean, some people find it more difficult because doing something in a completely blank page, you could kind of feel lost at first. But I think it all comes from that first word or that first sentence. And after that sentence, it just continues to flow. And I think that's the beauty of art or the beauty of writing. It's just literally more than half of it. I believe that more than half of it starts with your first word or sentence. And then after that, it just continues. And I think if you really just stop thinking so hard about when should I put in the climax or like what should the inciting incident be? Like how long should it be? I feel like if you just write, not thinking about the time limit that you have, you'll eventually get there. You'll eventually think of a climax. You'll eventually think of a character that will start changing its own beliefs. You'll eventually have those important aspects of the story, and I think it'll all work out. So I honestly think that writing could also be very good to empty out your mind. It's almost like you've packed so many things in your head, but there are things that aren't really you necessarily learned, but kind of like baggage that's just in there that you need to let it out. And sometimes that baggage, I wouldn't call it baggage. I guess it's just like a creative pile that you kind of end up developing through time. Because if you're in class, I think if you're in class and you're listening to a lecture or if you're learning about something, there's going to be questions that come up that are completely irrelevant. Or if you think about it, it could be relevant, but that moment it's probably irrelevant. And if it is, then you're probably going to branch out to that irrelevant question or the comment you have. And I think sometimes you need to just let it out. And writing is a great way to do it. All right. That was a long talk. But I would also love to talk about my favorite actor, I would have to say, who is Robin Williams. Rest in peace, Mr. Williams. But I think he was a phenomenal actor. I wasn't much of a follower for his comedic performances. I just think that for me, I would see some of his comedic performances and they were good, but I feel like his acting was something that stood out much more and gave me a bigger impact on myself. And I think one of the great things that I would love to kind of inherit from Robin Williams is the way he speaks. I've noticed that his pronunciation and the tone or the speed of how he speaks is very, very clear, and you could listen to every word that he's speaking. And you could kind of, I think one scene in particular from the movie Patch Adams, he comes out, he goes to medical school to become a doctor. And he eventually goes to court because he's been practicing on patients that couldn't afford to go to the hospital. And he goes into court and he gives a speech about what it really means to be a doctor or what the purpose is of becoming a doctor, whether it's for status or for helping people. But yeah, anyways, I would recommend that movie. But in that, I guess you would say like that speech, he speaks with a lot of, you could feel the emotions coming from his voice, and every single word he is saying, you could clearly hear, and it kind of sticks with you. And I think that's one of the most important things about in life, actually, because the way you communicate with someone is so important, I think, because that is something that will never die, because we people are going to be here around. And it's just communication, whether it's verbally or physically, is just going to be a crucial, crucial element to kind of develop and to kind of evolve through time, because it can really impact someone very, very positively. And that's probably something that I would love to practice, which is why I started my podcast, because I love to speak and I would love to get good at it. I mean, this is my first, I would say, podcast, that episode, that I'm actually talking alone for an hour. And believe it or not, it's pretty difficult, I would have to say. It's actually I wouldn't say, I didn't think of this as an easy thing, but it is pretty difficult, because you just have to continue just thinking of ideas or topics to talk about. But I am currently having fun. And before we move on to the free talking aspect, because we have hit the 30-minute mark, I would like to play a song from Love, Rosie. It's a song from Elton John. Called Tiny Dancer. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoy. Thank you. All right, we are back. But before we actually move on to kind of talking about some random things, I guess, because that's my concept, I guess, for the rest of the podcast. We are going to be listening to a couple of show promos, PSAs, and some ads before we get started. Okay.
Is it all that you wanted? Your hair blown in the cold breeze. Secrets within the trees that are not revealed to you. You're frightened of your nature. And promises they escape you. What's one more burden on the back of this beast?
British folk rock band Bear's Den will be performing live in Vancouver with special guest Izzy Heltye at the Vogue Theatre on October 1st. Their album Blue Hours pairs the duo's intricate songwriting with a spacious sonic palette inspired by 80s soft rock and big pop songs. To see Bear's Den at the Vogue Theatre on October 1st, get tickets at admitone.com.
Change the state of the world, but instead you keep buying material goods to satisfy whatever desire you have in that very moment? Me too. But now you can do both! Rock Shop and Community Thrift is a local vintage shop that fulfills your 1970s alt-chic fantasy while also supporting at-risk people through their compassionate and supportive work training program. All of their profits go to the PHS Community Services Society to support ongoing healthcare, harm reduction, and health promotion projects in Vancouver and Victoria. So stop by their two locations, Community Unisex on West Hastings or Community Frock Shop on Corral Street. And if you know any other local businesses that deserve recognition for their generous business practices or their contributions to the community, please DM us on Instagram at CITR and Discorder because we would love to spotlight them. Because hey, if you can't stop buying, you might as well start supporting.
In the context of Vancouver's opioid crisis, CITR would like to take a moment to share some harm reduction strategies.
Try not to do drugs alone. When going out, let friends know what drugs you're taking and make sure someone has an naloxone kit. If you're able to, get your drugs tested before taking them.
Avoid mixing opioids with alcohol or stimulants. Remember that opioids can include painkillers prescribed by a doctor, and it's possible for any drugs to be contaminated with opioids.
Learn the signs of opioid overdose, which include, but are not limited to, unresponsiveness or unconsciousness, inability to speak, breathing that is slow, erratic, or has stopped completely, heartbeat that is slow, erratic, or has stopped completely, skin tone that has turned blue or gray, choking or gurgling sounds.
If you think someone is overdosing, call 911 immediately. Start rescue breathing and administer naloxone if you have it. You cannot get in trouble for being on drugs, so always call 911 in an emergency.
For more information about naloxone kits and training, visit towardtheheart.com.
Thank you and stay safe.
Tune into Post Rock Friday from 10 to 11 with your host John P for the best in post rock, drone, ambient, experimental, and noise.
All right, we are back. We have around 20 minutes. We can just, I would like to talk more about myself since this is my second official episode. Some of the hobbies that I would say I have are not too many. I mean, I like to play golf. Golfing is a great sport. I think it's good. One of the strengths with golf would probably be how long term you could do it. There aren't any major injuries that you can have. I think golf is a great sport to play, whether you're old or like young. But yeah, I like to play golf. I also like to lift some weights. I just do that for my own pleasure. It's almost therapeutic for me because sometimes when you have like a long day at work or long day at school or long day at work, just spending about an hour or two just lifting some weights, breaking a sweat, it really helps with kind of releasing all the stress and all those nasty things that you've kind of built up through the day. So yeah, I love to work out. It's great. I tend to maybe spend an hour to maybe 2.5 hours a day, depending on how I feel. If I just need like a quick kind of workout to kind of get through, I'd probably maybe spend 45 to an hour. That should be okay. But if I'm really kind of want to just take my time and enjoy my workout, I'd probably spend much more time in the gym. I am a person that really doesn't like to do cardio because it's tiring, and I don't mind sweating a lot, but it's really tiring. It kind of drains you out in a sense, but since I do need to lose a bit of fat, some body fat, I do run a little bit. And recently, I've actually found the beauty of running. I actually enjoy it a little bit. It's almost now, if I don't run maybe 2 to 3, maybe sometimes 4K a day, I feel a little like stuck, or like I didn't do all the things that I needed to do in that day. And I think that's a good habit, right? I mean, running is not a bad thing. Like your cardiovascular system improves, your heart is, you know, it's healthy and all that. But yeah, running is great. I mean, I like to run in the gym on a treadmill, just because running outside is really cold, and I envy the people that have very, very phenomenal physiques that run with their top off. I do not have that physique yet. I'm getting there, but yeah, I mean, running outside, I mean, especially the wind too, the wind gets me. I mean, even with clothes on and I'm running outside, I get really cold and I don't feel good after running. I kind of like to feel warm and just break a sweat, and that should be, that's like the enjoyable point for me when I'm running. Yeah, I would run in the gym probably 15, 20 minutes before my weight session, which some people say that you should do your cardio after your weight session. But for me, I like to do it before, just because after, when I lift weights, I feel much more tired than how I am after I ran. Because the running for me now is more of a warm-up than a cardio session. But it's enough. I do 15, maybe sometimes 20 minutes before my weight session, so I would consider it both my warm-up and my cardio. But yeah, I don't feel as drained as I would when I lift weights. I think it's because just lifting heavy objects. I mean, I don't really lift heavy because I'm kind of weak. But yeah, lifting in general, just lifting that metal equipment just really kind of brings you down. Physically, mentally, you feel great after it, depending on how hard you worked out. I typically don't like to go super hard in the gym. I just go hard enough to feel good after. I'm huge on how I feel after a workout. If I don't feel good, then I might have done something wrong, because I don't want to overtrain, I guess. I just kind of want to train to the point where I enjoy my session, my entire session. And I come out with no injuries. I don't have any joints or pain in any part of my body. I just kind of break a sweat, get a pump in my muscles, and just leave. So yeah, I love to work out. It's great. I still feel like I did something if I work out that day. If I just watch TV, watch a bunch of shows, and I go to the gym for 2 hours and I do nothing else the entire day, I still feel like I have accomplished something, and I don't know why, but I do, and it feels great, and it feels like I'm not lazy. But yeah, I think I would recommend. I mean, I would recommend going to the gym for everyone. It's great. It's not only good because you get to look good, depending on however you want to look. But it's good for you, and I think I would recommend anyone to go to the gym and just break a sweat. Because you know, as you get older, you no longer have PE class, you don't have gym class, you don't have any mandatory exercising activities as you get older. Once you get out of high school, you're done. So I think it's a good habit to grow, to develop, because it has, I would say it only has benefits. Aside from kind of taking time off your day, I would have to say that it's great. Just, you know, go to the gym and just work out. I listen to music sometimes. I don't really listen to music. I don't ever listen to music when I'm studying or when I'm working out. Because I tend to realize that listening to music distracts me from the things that I want to do or that I'm doing. So when I'm studying and I'm reading a passage or, I don't know, solving a math problem, which I don't do anymore because I don't take any math classes. But I get really distracted because I tend to hum with the music and I tend to sing the lyrics. So I don't ever multitask with music and the things that I do. I just kind of do one thing at a time. I'm not a very good multitasker. Some people, I mean, they say that multitasking is bad, but I find it works with people. It works with some people. It works with different type of people. If it doesn't work for you, don't do it. If it works for you, kudos. Go ahead. Multitask. I mean, whatever gets you to have things done, I think that's the important part. So yeah, I don't ever listen to music when I'm doing things. I just do it one at a time. But yeah, I mean, those are probably some of the hobbies that I have. Golf, working out, listening to some music. Ooh, and I love to eat. I love eating, which is actually a problem because, I mean, I don't want to like eat like junk food and expect myself to get into good shape. But yeah, I love eating. I mean, I could eat an entire large pizza as a meal. I don't know if that's a lot for you guys, but I personally think that I eat quite a bit. Sometimes it's not as good because I would go out with some friends and they would order, I don't know, a pasta and a Diet Coke. And I'm here ordering two pastas, two appetizers, and whatever their special is, because I love eating, and I think I eat quite a bit, which is not good on my financial part, because whenever I go out, I probably say I'd use $40 to $70 just on me for food per meal, so. Yeah, I mean, if I really want to enjoy myself and really have myself full and just stuffed, that's the amount of money I would have to spend. But then again, I'm always focusing on how I feel after I eat, after I work out, after I finish a class, after I study. I'm always about how I feel and really try to reflect back on what I did right and what I did wrong. So if I eat like an entire pizza, I'm not going to lie to you, I'm going to feel like poop. I'm going to feel very, very disgusted. My tummy's not going to like me for at least that entire day. I feel this after eating KFC or fried chicken. Anything fried that's like greasy and oily, I would feel very, very, very bad. But I love it. But I only maybe have that a couple times in like a couple weeks, maybe once every couple weeks. But yeah, I mean, recently there was a Popeyes that opened up where I lived. I live in Coquitlam, by the way. Popeyes opened up near me, and I went there with my brother and my family, and we had some chicken, and boy, was it good! I think they just fried it when we got there, so it was like the perfect crispy golden brownish color. It was so good. So good. And I think I had maybe 5 or 6 large pieces. And then the fries at Popeyes are phenomenal. I would have to argue the best fries. The best fries for any place. Number one pick for me, Costco fries. Costco fries, you can never go wrong. And they're cheap, I think. Yeah. I don't really go for the hot dogs. I am not really a fan of hot dogs in general. I just feel like I can taste the bun more than the sausage, which I don't like. I like the taste of the sausage. And I hate it when the bun is like dried and it's just really out proportioned. I mean, a hot dog is supposed to out, like the bun of the hot dog is supposed to out proportion the sausage, but for some reason, I just don't not like that natural thing about what a hot dog is. I don't really like hot dogs, so I would get the fries and the chicken strips. The chicken strips are okay at Costco, but yeah, fries, number one place, Costco, and then I would have to say Popeyes, and then McDonald's. And then whatever, like A&W or Burger King. But I don't think that they have great fries. I think they're just okay. But yeah, those places, the fries are good. I mean, the Popeyes fries are actually seasoned. And that's not really good, but they're good. I mean, they're seasoned, so they should be good. It's so good. I would have that. The coleslaw, some chicken. But yeah, I mean, as I said, it's good when it goes in, but you don't feel good after a couple minutes, at least for me. And you are bloated the entire day. That's not good. I mean, I think I get bloated pretty easily, despite the fact that I eat a lot, which is probably why I get bloated. But yeah, I would get bloated even after drinking bubble tea. I don't know why. I don't really like bubble tea in general because I just don't like that creamy texture of bubble tea. I don't really like slushies. Wow, I'm actually realizing I'm pretty picky. But I'm picky with the junk food. I would have to say bubble tea is a junk food. It's not really good for you. But I like to drink liquids that just like go through quickly, like water or Gatorade or just like liquidy stuff. I don't really like thick substances. I find it, I don't know, I just don't like it. Yeah, I mean, the way it just goes down your throat, I feel like it's, you're more eating something than drinking it. And I think if you're gonna drink something, it should be a liquid. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people love bubble tea, and I'm not hating on bubble tea. I just don't really like to drink it. Just for the texture aspect of a bubble tea. I love the pearls, but nowadays I don't really get the pearls. I get the coconut jelly, and I love it. I love the coconut jelly. It's so good. It's so chewy. It's like sweet. It's good. Oh, and I recently found out that granola bars are actually not that good for you. I mean, apparently, because it has a lot of sugar. And I didn't know that. I thought granola bars were the healthiest snack you could ever have. I would have that after a workout or after whenever I'm hungry or whatever. But whenever that happens, whatever I do, I would probably have like a granola bar or something. But apparently it's contained with a lot of sugar and it's not as good as you think it is. Maybe you could compare that to like the I mean, I had a friend that would say that ketchup was good because it was tomatoes. And I was like, oh, interesting. But yeah, I feel like it's that misconception of ketchup being good and granola bars being good. It's like the same thing. But yeah, I recently realized that. I mean, I don't really eat any snacks anymore. I'm just trying to cut down on all the sweeties, the sweet stuff. And just stick to the main meals of the day. So now I only have, which is very boring and very not tasteful, just chicken and rice. I don't know. It's just easy. I bring my lunch to school. I find it, I can kind of, it's you're saving money, I guess. For me, I mean, as I mentioned, I use a lot of money on food. It's basically the only thing I spend my money on. I mean, I just spend it on food and just snacks and drinks and all that. I don't really care about what I wear. I mean, my mom gets me like my clothing sometimes. Like she would be like, "Do you want this?" And I'd be like, "Yeah, sure." But yeah, I'm not too picky about clothing. I'm not too picky about food either. As I mentioned, I eat everything. I mean, I didn't mention that, but I do eat everything. I don't mind eating anything. But I try to avoid the things that don't make me feel good. You know, like fried chicken and bubble tea and burgers, however, don't make you feel that bad. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it's not as unhealthy as fried chicken. I mean, the oil is just, it's detrimental. That oil is really, really bringing me down. But yeah, burgers aren't that bad. But yeah, anyways, we are coming to a time, and I think that's how we're going to end this episode, about me, and the film that I saw. But yeah, I mean, before we kind of end, I just want to say thank you to all my listeners. Next episode, I'm probably going to be announcing the phone number at our station, and you guys can call us and ask me any questions live. I don't mind answering any of them. But yeah, I'm just going to play a couple songs from my favorite band, The Vogue. It's an old band, but I love them. So I hope you guys enjoy.
Everything is sweet. Oh, you're so tender. I must surrender. My love is your love now and forever. You're the one that I long to kiss. Baby, you're the one that I really miss. You're the one that I'm dreaming of. Baby, you're the one that I love. Keep me in your heart. Never let us part. Don't deceive me. I want you only. You must believe me. You're the one that I long to kiss. Baby, you're the one that I really miss. You're the one that I'm dreaming of. Baby, you're the one that I love.
I adore you, and no one before you could make me feel this way. Since I met you, I just can't forget you. I love you more each day. There may be some tears through the coming years. Ooh, all the while I know you'll be smiling. Your love will guide me through.